Shalom Aleichem. Where have you been? Not around. Okay. To discuss a little bit tonight the leader of Moshe and Shal Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu, and just to get a little bit of a handle on how Moshe Rabbeinu's birth is introduced to Klal Yisrael. It starts off with the Mialdus of Rios. Pare tells the Mialdus of Rios, So Pare demands from the Mialdus of Rios that they should kill or abort the firstborn, the male babies prior to birth. And there's a whole cheshbon here why he told him Yaldus of Rios. Actually, many hold that he came to them with a claim that halachically speaking, there is no din of Ritzicha by Yisrael on a fetus. Actually, halachically speaking, the din Ritzicha by a goy is different than by a Jew. By a Jew, the din Ritzicha only begins after Leida. So although unquestionably there's a halachic issue with aborting a baby, and potentially it's abizrayu, it's in that family of taking away a neshama, but Tosfos actually in Nida, Tosfos has a whole discussion, why are we even Mechal Shabbos? Where just the fetus is in danger. If the mother's in danger, it's pikuach nefesh of the mother. But Tosfos says for Kasha, how could you be Mechal Shabbos for a baby prior to birth? And actually, Tosfos seems to learn that it's a whole different concept. The pikuach nefesh of a born child and the pikuach nefesh that you could do for a fetus is a whole different element. It's not even pikuach nefoshes. Technically. And Tosfos actually used very difficult language there in Nida, in Perek Yetzer Dofen. Tosfos actually says, when he asked the question, he says, that's his lashon. If you're allowed to kill it. Now he obviously doesn't mean muta. He means it's not ratzicha. It's not mamash ratzicha for Yisrael. So for Yisrael, so what is the chiv? So Gemara in Yumeh brings two reasons for pikuach nefoshes. The Gemara in Yumeh brings one pasuk for pikuach nefoshes, which is the mitzvah of a chai bohem. Right, that mitzvah. That means that a Jewish life, as the Rambam writes, chaviv nefesh ha-Yisraeli, that the Jewish life has in it the power to be doich all mitzvahs. That's pikuach nefoshes. And then you have the element of Chalel Shabbos Achas, b'chdei she'ikuyim Shabbos Asharbe. It's worthwhile to be over one Shabbos, and many Shabbos should be miskayim. So it's two separate things. Now, in fact, the element of Chalel Shabbos Achas doesn't necessarily require the chaybahim. So when you have a fetus, even though it's not yet a nefesh, but it has potentiality to have many Shabbosos. Right? So that is the reason why it's Deich. According to Tosfos' thought. According to Tosfos, it's not the Pikuach Nefesh of the Uber, of the traditional V'chai Bohem that we have in Kolat Erekule. But it's a different angle. It's the fact that there's a potential. We'll come out of Chiddush Din, which is not really what I want to focus on tonight, but it would come on a Chiddush Din, that according to Tosfos, we know that Yalada Machal Shabbos, even for Chayei Shoah. So let us say you have somebody who, scientifically speaking, whatever medical intervention you're going to do is not going to provide more than a couple of hours of life. Okay, so you have something you could do to give a couple, Halach is Yimachal Shabbos for that. Even for another minute of life, Yimachal Shabbos. But that's for Chaybahim. Right? But als the din of Sheyichalo Shabbos Achas while Yichalo Shabbos Asharbe, to facilitate many weeks to be kept, that would not apply. So there would be reason to believe that according to Shita Stasis, if you had a fetus that couldn't survive, fetus couldn't survive, but you could do some intervention to make a delivery, and it could live for an hour, could live for 2 hours, it could, there could be some life. It would stand to reason that according to Tosfos' logic, you wouldn't be allowed to do it on Shabbos, because the pikuach nefesh is not there, because he's not considered a nefesh until birth. Now, by a goy, it's not that way. By a goy, the pasuk says in Parshas Noach, "Shofech dam ha'odom bo odom." From there, we learn out that even a fetus for a goy is murder. So, for a goy, actually, the elements of killing a fetus is a different element, much more chomer. What? It is. But it is, but it isn't. We'll get to why it isn't. But it seems interesting. It seems to go against what you would think would be logical. And that is, in fact, the halacha. If you have, technically, a woman that halachically qualifies for an abortion, okay, her own life is in jeopardy. So then not only qualifies, you mechuyev to do an abortion, right? So the question would be then, should you use a Gentile doctor or a Jewish doctor? And the answer would be, you should dafka use a Jewish doctor. Because for the Gentile, it's regular murder. And for the Jew, it's not. You would think otherwise, right? You'd think, well, you got to do an abortion. Use a goy. But really, the halacha would state otherwise. But anyway, al kaponim, that's not really the idea that we're trying to discuss here. But Rav Yonos and Eibishitz does say that that's the reason why the Torah stresses Vayikro Melech Mitzrayim la Miyaldois, and he told them these were the Miyaldois of Rios. It wasn't Stam Miyaldois. It says Vayoyma Melech Mitzrayim la Miyaldois of Rios. And what the Torah means to bring out here is that these women really didn't have to give up their life. Okay? Because in fact, it was their life versus the fetus. So, halachically speaking, especially given the fact that they were miyaldei soivriyos, so in fact, for them, there was no chiv to give up their life. Right? There was no maichosis. So, halachically speaking, this was way above and beyond the law. And they went, filoyosu kashem, they didn't do it. Obviously, they risked their lives. But the Chazal go to tell us, not only did they actually keep the children alive, they gave life, they fed them, and they actually adored them. And they actually, even on externalities, they were moisten nefesh. They beautified the children. Shifra and Pua, that's where the names came from. So that's really, if we have to look and analyze the introduction to Moshe Rabbeinu's life, who was Yocheved and Miriam. Miriam was the nevuah that she gave the nevuah that Moshe will come into the world, and obviously Yocheved, who was the mother of Moshe Rabbeinu. So if we want to go back to the sheresh of Moshe Rabbeinu, that's the sheresh, this act of what they did. So, I'm going to get back to that. I just want to, there's a reason why the Torah brought that out. Shortly thereafter, it says, Vayelech Ishmi Beis Levi, Vayikach is Bas Levi, Vatar Isha Vatele Ben, and this is Moshe Rabbeinu. Now we try to follow who Moshe Rabbeinu was. There's not much that we learn about Moshe Rabbeinu prior to him becoming Manik Shel Yisrael. Right? We don't learn much about him. But we're just going to try to grasp the little bit that we have, the little bit that the Torah tells us, and try to see what's between the lines here. So A, it teaches us about where he came from as far as the Mi'al de Sivriya is. Then, Moshe Rabbeinu was put into the palace of Paroi. And that's what the Torah tells us. That Moshe Rabbeinu ended up in the base Paroi. That's also a big chiddush. That's the way the Rabbeinu Shel Olam facilitated the Manig Yisrael. Okay? He had such a glorified heritage, if you think about it. Moshe Rabbeinu, the Gemara says in Sota, the end of the first Perek, Moshe Rabbeinu was a son of Amram, and Amram, the Gemara says over there, was God Ladori. Amram was a God Lador. So fitting the biographies of Gedolim today, it would be so much more appropriate that Moshe went through Shas with his father Amram when he was 4.5 years old. When he was 6, they learned Kabbalah together. Right? That would be like today, the type of book you'd like to read. Finished. At 9, he made a siyum on Kol HaTorah Kulo. There was nothing left to learn. He mamish Kol HaTorah Kulo. But instead, he gets plucked away from his parents, from the Gedolei Hador, and he's brought up in Beis Paroi. This is all Ma'aseh Hashem. This wouldn't be something that you would write, right? If it was you, this is not the history you would write about Moshe Rabbeinu. He already had the potential. He was born into the Gadla Dor's family. But he was deprived. He was deprived at home. He wasn't brought up in the home of Amram. He was brought up in the home of Paroi. Okay? Then the Torah tells us the Maisa with the Mitzri. Hayetzei Alechov. And that Maisa with the Mitzri. Whatever that is supposed to represent. After that occurs, Moshe Rabbeinu goes to Midian and he ends up being mischatein with the Kohen Midian's daughter. Also, this is very strange. From all the eligible Bnei Yisrael that Moshe Rabbeinu could have gotten involved with, this is who he ends up with. He ends up with Bas Paroi. Zimri ben Solu, many years later, will use that against Moshe Rabbeinu when he has relations with Cosby Bas Tzur, as the Gemara says in Sanhedrin. He's going to track back to that act. He says, he pulls out this shiksa and he tells Moshe, "Nu, is she a muter or yasur? Muteras yasura." And Moshe tells him it's also. So he turns to him. He says, "And who was Mata your Rebbetzin? Bas Yisroel mihitulch." So ultimately, this remains like Tzinim Upir Pachim, which Zimri ben Solu used against Moshe Rabbeinu. But this is who Moshe ends up with. This is who Moshe ends up with. This is the Rebbetzin. And then, the Torah tells us two other characteristics about Moshe Rabbeinu. The only other two characteristics that are brought down prior to us really meeting Moshe Rabbeinu as the manhig of Klal Yisrael. Number one, the pasuk tells us that he was a shepherd. Moshe Yehoyas Tzayin Yisrael Chosnei Kayim Midyan. And then Chazal Kam, the famous medrash, it's a medrash rabbi, it's a Yalkut Shemini. It's also found in Tanakh, this Yalkut Shemini, by David HaMelech. Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't pick a manik, ad sheboichen oisei bedover kor, till he tests them in a small thing. Hashem doesn't test them in a big thing, he tests them in a small thing. Dover kor. And Chazal go on to say that when Moshe was being tested, vetted, like they say today, you want to vet somebody, right? When Moshe was being vetted to be manik shel Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu checked him on his skills and how he deals with the animals. And that became ultimately the ultimate test. And then the Chazal say, this is the gauge. In HaKadosh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't pick a manik. So it always bothered me when I saw this medrash. Why is that the case? Why doesn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu boich in them b'dover gadol? A leader of Klal Yisrael is going to have very, very big challenges. As Moshe had many big challenges. Right? Why does not HaKadosh Baruch Hu test a leader b'dover gadol? A big thing. Why Dover Cotton? I understand Dover Cotton is a Mifchan Rishon, Mifchan really Kadumi. Why not Kodesh Baruch Hu make a true Mifchan? Like the Nisyenis of Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu didn't have small Nisyenis. He had big Nisyenis. To be the Ovos Olam, to be the father of Klal Yisrael, he had to be tested in big things. Hashem didn't test his shepherd skills. He tested him in big things. Or Kazdim, Akedas Yitzchok. These weren't small things. Why does the Medrash say that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is testing a manik, he's mavchinim davke b'dovoko? And then the Medrash goes on, the same thing by David HaMelech. When David HaMelech was chosen, it was also b'dovoko. Not b'dovoko, b'dovoko. That's number one. Right, so that's what we have to figure that out. In other words, if Chazal is saying, then it's not a Dover Cotton. Chazal seemed to be acknowledging that it's a Dover Cotton. Because after all, you could see what his attitude is towards people. You could test that out. Okay, you could say that possibly, but then it's really a Dover Cotton. That's a Dover Cotton. The Pasuk then brings down Vayar Malach Hashem Elov Vayerol Belabas Eish Mitechasne. There was a fire in this bush. Vayar Vine Asne Boyer Beish Vasne Nenuko. So Moshe Rabbeinu sees a flame that's burning and it's not consuming. It's burning, but it's not consuming. So Moshe Rabbeinu Vayeme Moshe Surin Over Samara Godol Hazeh. Why is it not going out? Anyway, this becomes the appointment of Moshe Rabbeinu. Right? As the pasuk follows. Vayar Hashem kiso lirois. Vayikro olav Hashem mitechasne. Vayomer Moshe Moshe vayomer hineni. So this is the appointment of Klal Yisrael. This is also not a very glorious inauguration. Right, Moshe Rabbeinu sees a bush burning. He goes over to see what it is. And this is the inauguration. No fanfare, no garnish. This is the inauguration. But Chazal are medayik in the words of the Pasuk. Because the Pasuk doesn't just say, Vayer olav Hashem. It says, Vayar Hashem kiso lirois. Hashem saw that he went to look. And the Medrash says, and that's schar. That he went to look, he was zeicher to become the man of Yisrael. And this is very strange. Sayente vayente shemaise. He sees a bush burning, vasnein en ucho, and he goes to look. Why is that so special? Now, vayar Hashem kisol lirois, this was the preface and the hakdome to Moshe becoming manig and shol Yisrael. That's the way the psukim reads. But if it would just be the psukim, we could say, well, maybe there's something else, maybe there's some other meaning. But the Medrash comes and says, and underscores that. And the Medrash says, yes, that's why Hashem chose Moshe. Because he was so lirois. Bischar. And that great reward. What was the great reward? He so lirois. What was the big deal? He so lirois. Hashem saw that happen. And that was that. Just one other question. Chazal tell us that Moshe did not want to go. I mean, we don't have to see that. We see that in the Psukim. That Moshe is going back and forth with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Very strange that Moshe is really hesitant to to do this job, you would think that Moshe would run at the opportunity to save Klal Yisrael. But instead, Moshe is hesitant. When you read the Psukim, you don't know if this was 2 minutes. I mean, you can have this, you can call somebody up, ask them for a favor. Usually you know the difference between somebody who wants to do you a favor or not is really 30 seconds. Right? You call somebody up, you need a loan. Hello, I need a loan. Okay, that's it. Okay. Once the person says how much, and when do you think it's going to be paid back, and where do you plan to get it from? Just a couple of questions. But that's already a whole depanim chadoshes polakam. The difference between oise chesed and roidev chesed is olam hazeh and olam haba. The Gemara in the first parak in Bava Basra, the Gemara says that hanoise in stock alone is boch bezayin. The one who goes ahead and gives it stock is mavoch. V'amavochay biyur aleph, right? The way you do it is the uptight of the whole stock. So bechlal, for us to think that Moshe didn't want to go or hesitated, even if it was 5 minutes, is not very good. It's not a good feeling. But if you look in Chazal extend these couple of psukim, not for days, but for weeks. One, the medrash that actually shortens it, says it was 7 days. 7 days? You have a ganz klal Yisrael being persecuted by the minute, and Moshe waits for 7 days, drain, find somebody else, not me, him, what, when, save klal Yisrael. How could it be? It's a merafi sikra to think that that was manhigun shol Yisrael. It's a pella. It's a total pella. I understand, but there's a time for everything, you know? If somebody has a heart attack, right, and then they go into cardiac arrest, and you have a defibrillator, and you know how to operate it, and you say, well, what's it going to look like? The guy's dead, and I'm going to go and shock him, and he's going to stand up, and I'm going to be the champion here. It's pasmanisht. It's pasmanisht. I'd rather call the Chevra Kaddisha. So there's a time for Anivus. I very much appreciate Moshe's Anivus. But now, there's an entire nation of Klal Yisrael being persecuted. And there's a telephone call. And the Abish is on the other line. And the Rebbeinu Shlom says, go save them. And you say, And according to the Medrash, a week, a month, you're now Medrezach. How could this be? It's true, Anivus. Nice quality, but doesn't seem to be the time and place for that Nevis.
Maybe he saw he might do more damage than good. Like he,
maybe.
Claims to Hashem later.
Well, that's what we have to see. That's what we're trying to get to the bottom of. What was behind this? So I want to tell you what I think is really a simple pshat, and it will explain to us what's going on here? What's the basis to all of this? What's with the Mialdis and what's with the whole from beginning to end? Question that we asked in the past when we were learning Sefer Breishis, and this is all part of Divrei Hayomim, which is the fact that it seems from the get-go that everybody who was involved in Malchus Beis David, it always had to be through Yibum. Remember, we had Akasha Breishis, Rabbi Yankiv's Kasha. Yehuda and Tomo. Yibum. It wasn't real Yibum, it was like Yibum. It was Yibum. Then, Boyaz and Rus. Vaita Yibum. What's the need for Yibum? Why does there have to be Yibum in order to have Malchus? From Klal Yisrael, why do you need to have Yibum? Yibum doesn't seem to be the Nekud. Why do you need Yibum? And there's a lot to be said on this topic of, but the simple pshat, it goes like this. The truth is that there's two mahalchim ha-machshava. There's two ways for a person to live his life. And one way to live your life is where you are self-focused on yourself. That doesn't mean you can't do chesed. You can do a lot of chesed. But you're focused on yourself. And that's really the natural instinct of this creation, of the human being. As Chazal tell us, how the human being is created, with the hands closed, taking. This is the norm. This is the way the human being was created. The old Sameach writes that in the Parshat Tzedakah, it starts off with the words, Pasoyach tiftach es yodcho. You should open up your hand. It shouldn't bother you when you give. So the Sameach quotes the Ra'o, that the Ra'o writes that the nature of the human being is to have your yadayim segulos, closed hands. That's the nature of the human being. Right? You're born with a need to live. Even medically speaking, the body protects itself. Dr. Resnick is here. From the most qualified doctors, he could tell us that the whole system of the body, scientifically speaking, is they're constantly fighting anything that poses a danger to the body. That's the instinct of the body. That's the nature of the beast. That's how we are. Now, that's one way. That doesn't mean you can't do chesed. You can do chesed. But still, your first order of business is yourself. Then you worry about other people. 100%. That's not bad. That's a person who's following their natural instinct. Now, every Jew is supposed to try to overcome that. Every Jew is supposed to try to live up to what the Torah tells us. Al yera levavcha b'sitcha loy. Kisira. Kisira, as we said many times, to see others. That's the job of every Jew, to work on becoming that type of a human being. But for a king and for a manig Yisrael, it's a tanai. It's a condition to kingdom. It's not a condition to life. But the kingdom, to be a manig Yisrael, it's a tanai. When somebody, Chazal tell us, Malchus ani noisen lochem, Avdus ani noisen lochem. When Achi Ashiloini, the great Gadol Hador, when he talks to his Talmud Yerovam ben Nevot, in happier times, before Yerovam ben Nevot became what he became, in a negative sense. So Achi Ashiloini tells him he's going to be the king of Klal Yisrael. The words that he uses in Sefer Melachim are very strange words. He says, "Umolachto b'chol asher tave nafshecha." You should be a king over all of your desires. When you read that pasuk in Melachim, it's almost impossible to believe that this would be Achi Ashiloini, the Gadol Hador. This is how he's guiding his Talmud Muvik, telling him, you're going to be a king? Get everything you want. Conquer all your desires. It sounds like, take it all in. Take everything that's available. That's it. That's what the Gadol Hador is telling his Talmud. But really, if you go deeper, it's the opposite. Achi Ashiloni told Yerovam ben Nevat, you have a lot of taivas, like every human being. You have a lot of desires. Right? And if you are a servant to those desires, you can't be a king. A servant to those desires mean that you actually fall to them. That those desires take you over. Then you can't be a king. Umalachto b'chol asher tave nafshecha. If you will be able to rule over your desires, what does that mean? Not to see yourself. If you'll be able to rise yourself above that, then v'yisa melech hakol Yisrael. Then you could be a king over other people. But if you're busy with yourself, if you're busy with tav and avshecho, then you can't be a melech hakol Yisrael. Melech hakol Yisrael can't be malach to b'chol, can't be that you're an eved to tav. You have to be a malach to b'cholashot. In the very first Yibum of the world that's introduced in the Torah, by Erev Oinon, Right? So the Torah says that Oinon didn't want to do it. He didn't want to do Yibam. You know why? Ki loy loy yiyah hazora. Because when you do Yibam, basically what you're saying is the first child, the first child is not yours. Goes on the name of your brother. You're just an extension. That's what Yibam really is. You're being mamshich to Ishus and Emes. That's what it is philosophically, and that's what it is halachically. It's a hemshich to the Ishus that was here from before. So Er didn't want to do that. When Er didn't want to do that, he lost the rights to Malchus Beis David. That's not the way you start Malchus Beis David. Malchus Beis David can only be built on somebody who sees others. That's why it had to be through Yibum. Because Yibum is a relationship where it's not for me. It's for Yen. I don't need it. It's not for me. Yibum is the facilitation of Malchus Beis David. And that's how it started. That's how it's introduced to us in the Torah Akdesha. That's how it's introduced. Where did Moshe come from? You know where Moshe came from? There's a V'chaibahem. V'chaibahem says that there's a din pikuach nefoshes, and actually Ritzich is one of those things, Yaharek V'al-Yavu. So whether you're a sweetheart, whether you're selfish or selfless, you got to give up your life not to hurt another Jew, not to kill another Jew, no matter what. Right? But on an Uber, there's no V'chaibahem. On an Uber, your life comes first. Right? The only thing the Uber has is a future in front of it, which, as we explained, that future also demands that you should be busy trying to help that Uber live. But you're not mechuyev. So who became the mother and the misnabas of Moshe Rabbeinu? Miyaldois that were focused on others, even where they weren't mechuyev to. Miyaldois evriyos. That didn't have to give up their lives. They didn't have to be Moshe Nefesh for babies that are not even here yet. But they did it because they saw mutiv. They were projecting the future of this child. That's called being selfless. That was the hakdome to Moshe Rabbeinu being born, to Moshe Rabbeinu coming into Klal Yisrael. That's where Moshe comes from. What did the Yebish to do? The Eibishter took Moshe Rabbeinu and he put him in a position where he does not need a geula. He's a prince. He is a prince. Moshe Rabbeinu was at a childhood, a dream, a prince, every luxury you can imagine. A prince of King Pharaoh, Mamisha. You can't get better. Royalty. Not just no slavery. Royalty. Says the Pasuk, Vayigdal Moshe, Vayetze Elechov. Moshe went out to Klal Yisrael. He starts his journey being Moshe Nefesh. What did Hashem do? He put Moshe in a position where his whole Mesiris Nefesh is only for us. He didn't need it. He's in the palace. So we asked, why did Hashem do that? Because that's the manig. The manig is somebody who doesn't need for himself. Moshe Rabbeinu's whole job, what he did, was Vayetze Moshe from royalty. Vayetze Elechov. And he went and he put his life on the line to save a Jew. But not where he himself was part of the Tzora. Even Shevet Levi was in Golos. Maybe they didn't have the Avodah. They were also in Golos. Their kids were also being killed. But Moshe was in royalty. Moshe was the prince of the king. And he was Moshe Nefesh for Klal Yisrael. That's Moshe Rabbeinu. That's who he was. That's who he... When a person does chesed, right, even when they're already doing chesed, right, there is a level of self-gratification. You feel good about yourself. Right? Because the person who you did chesed to, is makatev. One of the highest levels of tzedakah, other than establishing a person in parnasa, is if you give tzedakah to a person, he doesn't know who he's getting it from. Right? You don't know who you're giving it to. There's no gratification. Right? It's just kindness. It's the highest level of tzedakah. If a person does chesed with another person, it definitely shows a tremendous thing. But there still could be a hint of feeling appreciated, of having another human being looking at you and saying, wow, look what he did for me. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to test a leader, has to see chesed l'shem chesed, where there's no hakor satev. Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu boichem manig liYisrael ad sheboichem oisei bedavar katan. Let's see somebody who's just focused on doing chesed l'shem chesed. And the chesed is when the chesed is being done with something that can't even be makor tov to him in a human fashion. And that's what a behemoth. Then you see chesed that has no, it's only l'shem chesed. That's the introduction to Moshe Rabbeinu. Why did Moshe stop by this thorn bush? What happened? What was he interested in? What was going on here? So actually, Chazal tell us that when he stopped by this thorn bush, he said, "Madua lo yiva hasne? Why isn't it not getting consumed?" Says the Medrash, "Ulai munach kan gulas Yisrael." Maybe over here lies something that has to do with Gulas Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu was so consumed with Gulas Yisrael that whenever he saw something that wasn't typical, he thought, oh, maybe this is a sign. Maybe there's something here. Vayar Hashem kisol l'lois, Hashem saw. Moshe is so consumed with it. He said, you're the one. Now we know that the Gemara says in Shabbos, Tav Yud, that we would not have gone into Golos if not for Mechiras Yosef. That's what the Gemara says. Now what was Mechiras Yosef? Mechiras Yosef was where the brothers were jealous. The brothers were jealous that the younger brother seemed to be elevated over the other brothers. So that's what facilitated Golos Mitzrayim. When Moshe Rabbeinu was called to the plate to take Klal Yisrael out, to give the Torah to Klal Yisrael, any human being would have ran. You know what's going on now, Lahavdil? What people are doing, preparing for 2016 already? To be a possible running candidate for that illustrious job? You know how many people, you know what people are doing? You know the falsehoods that people are already planting in order to possibly be over there? Clinton became a misnaged to Obamacare. Rabbeinu Dalmakula. The Miyased alone. The Mechaber and the Mechadish and the Miyased is a misnaged. Why? Because his wife is a candidate for 2016. So that's also a chir. That's how it's ishtek agufay. And we know with Clinton, it's not such a shtake ishtek agufay. But whatever ishtek agufay licked open, for that he's ready. Moshe Rabbeinu Lahavdil is being told, you will be manhigon shel Yisrael. What a job. What a glorious job. What a fulfilling job. But Moshe's thinking, one second. I'm a younger brother. I have a brother, Aaron HaKohen. He's older than me. The whole Golos happened because of a younger brother being elevated. Even now, Moshe's not thinking about himself. Even now, at this moment, where he should have ran to do it, he's thinking about Klal Yisrael. Is this the best for Klal Yisrael? It's better, this should be Aaron, should better. Given the stakes, given where we got here from, I shouldn't be the one. This is all the glory of Moshe. Moshe was, and that could be what Chazal mean when they say Moshe was Isha Elikim. Because he went against what a human instinct is. Elikus is a metzias of giving, of noisein. That's Elikus. The human being's nature is to be a taker. And Moshe elevated himself to be an Isha Elikim. It could also be, that's why Moshe is called an Eved Hashem. Why is Moshe called an Eved Hashem? Why is that the title? Of course, there's so much you could say, lies in Eved Hashem. Because there's a rule, Kol Mashe Kono Eved Kono Rabbi. An Eved doesn't have a yad. An Eved doesn't have a hand to take for himself. That was Moshe. Moshe was an Isha Elikim, and he was an Eved. He was just there for Klal Yisrael. Okay, let's stop it.